we decided to go to an auction against our boarding barn's advice. And my mom and dad decided we should buy a four-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred for me. I think I was eight. And the first three times I got on that horse, I fell off. But we kept him, and we kept grinding away. Eventually, that horse became my first prelim horse when I was about 14.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
And Karen, we love Cowboy Magic. We talk about it all the time. What are we highlighting this week, Karen?
This week we are highlighting Cowboy Magic's Super Body Shine.
I love the Super Body Shine, Karen.
Right, and it's formulated to give Harry super shine, and it helps repel show ring dust and dries fast.
Yep, and it helps repel the dust and dirt. So, you know, before you put your horse out, it's not just about the show ring. It's about helping to kind of, let's alleviate these stains from getting in there. Right, Karen?
Right. It reduces your number of trips to the wash rack as well. So in wintertime, that's very important.
Yep, for sure, for sure. So thank you very much, Cowboy Magic. It's available in 16-ounce, 32-ounce, and a full-gallon, Karen. So, you know, when you got that big barn, you're going through this. So you need the gallon.
Oh, yeah.
Go straight to the gallon.
So. Right.
Little goes a long way, but you're going to want to use this all the time. So thank you very much, Cowboy Magic. Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, Karen. Yeah.
Triple Crown. Big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there.
Mm-hmm.
Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
TripleCrownFeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
It is.
TripleCrownFeed.com. They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show. Fairfax and Favor is even good for guys like me, Karen, who are shopping. So what's really cool is they have color collections. So they have matching handbags and accessories that go with shoes, all different types of shoes. So for a guy like me who's shopping, it's very simple for me to match up what you have. So your birthday's coming up soon. Just kind of curious if there's some favorite color that you like.
Oh, yeah. I'm obsessed with their mango and cornflower collection right now. Yes, perfect for the summer season.
Yeah, so mangoes kind of looks like a mango color.
Mm-hmm.
Cornflowers like a baby blue.
Yes.
Super, super cute. And they come with, they have shoes and accessories in all these different colors. So it's very easy to match. And you know, for a guy like me who's not very good at that.
Right. And they also have the trainer with the mango and cornflower stripes.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. So that way, just think about it. You get the trainer with the two different color stripes and then...
Oh, two different purses.
Exactly. Ooh, so
a mango purse and a cornflower purse.
I'm getting myself in trouble.
You sure are.
So Karen, if people want to check mango and cornflower out for themselves and other great Fairfax and Favor products, where do they go?
All they have to do is go to fairfaxandfavor.com.
The Rain Turtle by Turtleneck, the best rain sheet on the market, Karen.
The best. It comes in a 1, 2, and a 3-piece with a 3-year waterproof warranty. And it has a full antibacterial lining.
Yeah, fantastic. Of course, they have the stretch panels. So, Karen, if people want to learn more, learn about the Rain Turtle, the sizing, how to measure your horse after sizing, how do people learn more and purchase the Rain Turtle by Turtleneck?
Just go to turtleneck.biz.
Trish Scott's got us covered, and she can cover you. Trish is on with us to talk about equine mortality and medical coverages, which there's a lot of changes, Trish. So tell us what's going on in the industry right now, and how can you help people?
Yeah, there's a lot of changes going on the equine mortality medical coverage right now. And I just wanted to put the word out there that we don't have to be afraid. Changes are coming, but I can certainly take care of, whatever questions, concerns, our vendors have. Right now, the biggest one is Great American is not offering any medical coverage to any renewals or new business. But, and the thing is with our vendors, they're the one of the top three rated horses for, you know, for mortality. So it's a very unique breed of animal, very unique training. So we need to make sure that your policy is covered. I have access to some of the top rated carriers right now. They are all offering full mortality, medical, surgical, any coverage is needed for our ventures. Don't worry about it. Just give me a call. I'd be more than happy to walk through your current policy and make sure that your renewal is covering your horse. Not a problem. Just give me a call. I'm always available. 484-319-8923.
I'm Robbie.
And I'm Karen, and we are your hosts of the Major League Eventing Podcast. And Robbie, we have another special guest. We're very excited to have her on today.
Very.
Welcome to the show, advanced rider Tracy Beaneman.
Welcome.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm delighted to be done teaching before dark. I can't believe it.
There you go.
Yes, this time change has been great.
It's amazing.
Now I'm just waiting for the warm weather. That's all. Then we're good.
Yeah, we get a tease and then we're back to freezing.
Yes. So Tracy, you're coming to us via Zoom, but where are you coming to us from?
So I'm based near Annapolis, Maryland, right between DC and Annapolis, actually, in a place called Lothian.
Okay, I've heard of Lothian.
It's a really
it's
nice area.
It's a very small place, but there's a few really great barns around here.
Okay. Well, what's near there? I mean, obviously besides Annapolis and
DC.
Horse-wise or
horse-wise. Horse-wise.
We have a lot of hunter jumper type facilities. I'd say that's the predominant horse population. But we also have nearby is Valerie Vitscaronzo at Blue Clover Eventing. Doden Farm, where I grew up riding, actually is right around the corner. And the PG Equestrian Center is about 5 miles from my facility. So we've got really great access to lots of open space. But also, if you actually want to go downtown for a night, it's pretty easy.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we like going to Annapolis. That's a really cool town.
Yeah, I grew up running around there, so it's old home.
Yeah. Cute little town. A lot of fun to go to. So Tracy, you mentioned you would go to Doden Farm when you were younger, but can you take us back and tell us how you actually got your start in riding and then into eventing?
So none of my family was really into horses. We grew up in a suburban house in Pasadena, Maryland. And on our way to and from school every day, we would pass this driveway that had a sign called Pasadena Stables. And it, you know, had a silly little carousel horse logo, and it said lessons, boarding, and training. And I think when I was about probably 5, I started, every time we passed the sign, begging whoever happened to be driving me to get me lessons. And so after a few years of begging, finally, I got to take my first riding lesson at Pasadena Stables when I was probably 6 and a half. It went pretty well. I didn't fall off that time. And then we decided to go to an auction against our boarding barn's advice. And my mom and dad decided we should buy a 4-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred for me. I think I was 8. And the first 3 times I got on that horse, I fell off. But we kept him, and we kept grinding away. Eventually, that horse became my first prelim horse when I was about 14. I grew up in Pasadena, but then started commuting to Doden. Because at various stages, we wanted to sell that first horse that kept removing me. And at one point through Pony Club, a friend introduced us to Stuart. And Stuart had a person who he thought would want to buy our horse. So we bring the horse over to Doden, and Stuart gets on it. I think I got on it for a few minutes. I'm sure I wasn't very impressive to either of them. I weighed about 70 pounds, maybe.
And then Stuart gets on and he tries to show off, does fine on the flat, and then is like, look, he's going to be great out in the open, despite, you know, what I think about riding in the open, which is a big no at the time. He goes to gallop him around the field, and I guess they stepped on a very angry nest of turkeys. So the feathers go flying, the horse goes flying, and Stuart falls off, and the horse runs back to us. Needless to say, Stuart's client did not buy the horse. But for some reason, I decided that I should definitely lesson with Stuart, right? So he convinced me to switch into eventing and sort of took me under his wing. Basically, anytime I could convince my mom to take me there or drop me off there, that's where I would be. So I was probably the world's youngest working student, but I loved it. And Stuart really showed me what it was like to be fully invested in horses. And I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
You know, we hear that story a lot. The young kid getting the 4-year-old horse from the auction. And then
it was a terrible idea.
For whatever reason, it seems to work out for everyone.
For the most part, it does.
I mean, that's true. You know, a few broken bones and mental traumas later.
Right. Oh, man.
So it's sink or swim at that point.
You know, I wonder if does it...
Well, clearly I was destined to be an eventer if I survived that horse. So.
Right. So I wonder if it's still... I guess it's still going on today, parents. When are parents going to learn? Do not buy their 8-year-old a 4-year-old horse.
At auction. Off the track.
Right.
Yeah. You know? You live and you learn, right?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean,
hopefully.
I've been there. So how long were you with Stuart?
I probably rode with Stuart from age probably about 12 until I went to college. I went to college when I was 17. And then even during college, I would still go back and forth as much as I could to get lessons. I spent every single summer and every winter break working for Stuart. He was my main mentor. And he also had been moving into the RRP Foundation, which gave me just an amazing basis of training for the thoroughbreds. And he was just so talented at selecting and bringing horses along. And even if they weren't great horses, he could teach you to make them great horses. So that was an amazing experience.
Yeah. Now, is he still involved in an RRP?
He is not, actually. No. He now is a politician in Maryland.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I did hear that. Yeah, that's right. I did hear that. Huh. Oh, he could still be involved in an RRP. Come on, Stuart.
Well, that's true. He could. I did get him to come visit my farm when I moved here, so that was exciting.
Oh, yeah. But I'm sure he's busy, so doing important things. So after, now you said you went to college. What did you go to college for?
So I went in intending to actually potentially become a vet. And I learned about all of the very intense classes and the many years of school and talked to my friends and current vets about it. And they were like, well, if you actually want time to ride, you probably don't want to become a vet. So it didn't take too much for me to change my route. I ended up majoring in economics and environmental studies, and I have a minor in anthropology. I pretty much just picked what I was really good at because any job I would get, I would want it to be something that I was good at and I enjoyed. So that might as well be what I major in.
Yeah, makes sense.
Makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Turns out I didn't use any of those degrees to any real form, but you know, it's a very expensive backup plan.
Right. Well, you got a backup plan. And
I feel like that's also just a common thing. Like a lot of people are just getting degrees and, you know, they just end up finding something else completely unrelated to do.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me. So.
Right. Well, you're cut. Right. Well, yeah.
I used some aspects that I learned for sure with environmental management, being a farm owner, and of course juggling the business. You know, the economics certainly maybe helps me out. I don't know. I like to think it helps me a little bit, but
yeah,
it's okay if it didn't. I had to learn a lot of things as I went, and sometimes flying by the seat of my pants. So.
Yeah.
Well, that was a fun way to do it anyway.
Well, I'm sure it's helping in some form. I mean, you're running a business, so, you know, economics definitely should help with that.
Who knows if economics and horses go together at all, but we try.
And now you said that you did Pony Club. How long were you in Pony Club for?
I did Pony Club for a long time. I think I joined shortly after we got the 4-year-old off the track horse. I guess I stayed in it until I went to college, although since I moved up to preliminary when I was 14 in Pony Club, sort of at the time stopped at training level. And even, you know, there weren't very many people even doing training level, that I focused more on my rated eventing rather than the Pony Club stuff, but I still enjoyed teaching and working with Annapolis Pony Club. I ended up rating up to a C3 and stopped there. I always considered going back and making my rating a little higher, but I think I learned enough through my recognized eventing that hopefully my teaching is adequate.
Yeah. One thing about Pony Club, like, I don't understand why they stop at like training level for like championships, when like for your A you have to be able to go what is that?
I mean, like, I think intermediate that, I think or that advanced? They will kind of go up to as high as they have entries for, because I think one year that when we went that they were running some preliminary, but it was only up to like preliminary. It was like 3-5 people.
Was that the year I went?
It might have been. I mean, that was
probably
what, 2012?
I did Pony Club championships. Oh, no, it was longer ago than that. Okay. I think I did championships in 2004.
Okay.
At the prelim level with Pony Club. But there were only about 4 of us competing in the championships at that level.
And I think that kind of like with what you said, I mean, I know you kind of growing up, like it was a lot of times, you know, people not necessarily aged out too much as it was kind of skilled out. For, you know, doing like the rallies, yeah, and that type of stuff. And then they were like, oh, well, one year when we were at Kentucky for Pony Club Champs, the week before, the week after was Young Riders, and all the Young Riders wearing their cool team gear with their sponsors. And, you know, they don't have to wear their medical armbands and their pennies, you know, for the entire week. And I think a lot of people saw that. I was like, yeah, that looks a little nicer.
Oh, but
yeah, it seemed like a little more fun to do, yeah. A little less horse management. You know, point deductions.
Right. But
everything was still clean. Miss Bushling would still be proud, but I didn't have to get everything checked, which was great.
Yeah. But yeah, not knocking on Pony Club. Definitely
a
good experience. And you learn a lot, but, you know, just kind of wish it.
Yeah, I learned a ton. It was definitely the best base of knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I did read. Now, did you also go to Sally Cousins to be a working student at one point?
I did. So I was with Stuart for a good while. And then when I was at the stage of being ready to move up to intermediate, and he had sort of stepped away from the higher level eventing, he encouraged me to seek out a trainer who was actively going at intermediate and up, which is, you know, very humble of him. To say, you know, okay, I've done everything I can for you, but you need someone who's really going to be there at all of your events. So I'll always appreciate that move from him to push me towards an additional trainer. So I met Sally because I go to his friend Julia Wendell's farm up in Upperco, Maryland, where she was teaching. I rode with her as much as I could with college and breaks, and it was pretty far. Little did I realize that I could have driven much easier to Pennsylvania from where I was in Chestertown, but instead, all the way around to Baltimore. And after a few years lessoning with her, at that point I had the mare Zara, and me and Zara were heading in the direction of being ready for advanced. And I was talking to Sal, you know, about the best way to be prepared and where to move up and how much work has to go into the fitness. And she asked me if I would come work for her in Aiken and we would move up to advanced down there. And so that was that. I packed everything up. I did have two greener horses as well at the time, but decided they could just take a little vacation. And me and Zara moved down to Aiken to work for Sally, where we moved up that spring of 2012 at Pine Top. I stayed with Sally as a student for long after that. I think I ended up riding pretty much exclusively with her for at least 8 years. And we're still very good friends. I just moved quite far away, so it became too much with my business to manage to get up there for lessons. But she taught me so much. And working for her, I got to ride every type of horse, you know, the greenest baby horses, warm bloods, thoroughbreds, upper level horses, quirky horses, wonderful horses. Her experience really taught me what it's like to be an upper level rider.
Yeah, Sally's a super, super lady. It's fun seeing her out there still competing. And I think, but just recently, she won the intermediate at Pine Top, I want to say. I think I just saw that.
That sounds right. Was that the horse Wizard?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
I think it was Wizard.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Wizard is such a cool horse. Yeah. I love that horse.
Now, is he a thoroughbred? I know.
He is.
Okay.
Yeah, and he had just come to her towards the end of when I was working for her. No. But he really... She's a really incredible, hardworking horse who she's just put so much love and time into. And it really shows. They have an amazing relationship. So I'm super excited to see them going towards the advanced level again.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. So, yeah. So I guess, does that bring us up to today? And can you tell us what you have going on in your current business?
So since I moved to my place, which I made that move in the fall of 2017. It took a good while to start establishing things. Had to build a barn, had to build a bunch of fencing. Thought I'd lost my mind for a good while. But now it's all worth it. I run a active training and teaching business. We have about 22 horses in training right now. And I'd say I do about 50-50 between teaching and training. So every horse that's here stays in a program of a set number of sessions per week, and clients can use those sessions for lessons or for training rides. So depending on the week, I might be doing more riding. Other weeks, I might be doing more teaching. A lot of the horses I do show for the clients as well, and a lot of the clients will also show. So it's a big mix. It's a beginner novice through an advanced horse now. And I love having the chance to teach so many and getting to ride the horses that I'm also working with the owners teaching wise on really helps me help the owners get to know the horses better and the horses understand the owners better.
Yeah. Now, wow, 22 horses.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a really cool way that you're kind of going about it, is splitting it between like training rides and doing lessons. You know, that's neat. I haven't heard of anyone else really doing that before.
Yeah, it works out great because like if a client really is worried about themselves being prepared for a certain show or event, you know, they can switch and do 5 lessons that week. Or if they're really worried that their horse isn't prepared, even if they can probably ride the horse if the horse behaves, I can, you know, put a little boot camp into the horse the week before and make sure that its buttons are all polished up.
Now, and do you have any like working students working for you to help you with these rides?
Thank goodness. Yes. So my assistant, Arielle Alpert, she's been with me since I guess she joined me in 2016 and was with me for about a year. And then she went back to the West Coast to finish college. It took me about 3 years to harass her into coming back to work for me. But I succeeded finally. I think it was fall of 2020. And she's been with me most of that time since. And she's still the best groom. She's the best assistant. She's my good buddy as well. So we have a great working relationship. She's been with me through all sorts of other interesting staff changes, as all barns have. It can be tough to hire people and keep people. And, you know, it's just a hard industry to keep things consistently rolling, you know, for very understandable reasons, as financially it's difficult to be a working student and the time and labor are very intense.
Yeah.
But, you know, Ariel stuck it out. And of course I stuck it out. We currently have another full-time working student named Ruby. She's new, but she works really hard and she's getting the hang of things. This is her first eventing barn. So there's a lot more equipment and a lot more horses than she's used to, learning a lot of skills rather than just, you know, regular English riding skills. But she just did her first event this past weekend at Lochmoy and had a great time. And she even won her division. She was so excited.
Aww,
so we have a great team that's full time. And then I have a couple students who come back from college and work for me for the summer. And they are amazing. They come back every year. And we have a couple clients actually that also will help a couple days a week and offset a few of their lessons.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And congratulations to, was her name Ruby?
Yeah. Ruby Doyle.
Oh,
she's doing great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Congratulations to her.
Now, Tracy, do you guys go down south for the winter or do you stay up here?
Since I now own a fancy indoor, I unfortunately don't have a great excuse to go south for a long time anymore. But we do usually take a pile of horses and clients down to Aiken for usually like 10 to 20 days, depending on what everyone can do, and sneak in a few shows, get a little bit of sunshine, enjoy the Aiken Alley situation.
Oh, yeah. Whiskey Alley.
Love Whiskey Alley.
Yes. yeah. And luckily this year, the winter wasn't too bad in our area. So
no, it was super nice. And for the period that I was in Aiken, it was really nice up here too. So we were very lucky.
Yeah. Very cool. Now, what do you have going on competition wise? Now, I know you have this one horse, Reg the Ledge. I think I'm saying his name right. He seems really cool. Can you tell us a little bit about him and what you have going on?
So Reg is the first horse I've ever really gotten to ride that I didn't train myself. He was purchased through me for a client who absolutely adored his color. She rides as well, but she's much more dressage focused. She lives a very busy working life, so she makes it out here and there to ride, but not as much as she would like. So we do little lessons on Reg for his owner, and I'm lucky enough that she allows me to continue his eventing career. We didn't really know how far he would go. You know, he's a little bit on the smaller side. He's pretty spicy. He sometimes thinks he knows a bit more than me. But over the past 2 years, we've really come together and have become a great team. And his owner loves to be there for the experience when she can and is, you know, the best groomer, the best hugger, and the best treat giver. Reg's spiciness can prove difficult in a hotter atmosphere. But we've worked really hard to get a handle on that. And Carolina, moving up to advanced there, was super rewarding because it's a big enough atmosphere. And I felt like in every phase, I was really able to ride him. I hope that we can get a few 4 stars under our belt and maybe he'll be a 5-star horse. Who knows?
There you go. Yeah, we did see that you're signed up for the 4-star in Kentucky.
I am. I'm excited.
That is exciting. He's a really cool looking horse. What breed is he?
So he's Dutch. He was actually imported by Justine Dutton a few years ago. I think they intended him to be an amateur's horse, but he didn't quite turn out that way. But he makes a marvelous horse for me, so that's fine.
There you go.
Works out.
Works out. So, and you said hopefully, so what, planning on doing the Kentucky 4-star in a month?
So
yeah, it's coming. Month. It's like 1 month today.
Wow. What's going to
so
be the...
So we did Carolina. We're going to do Stableview. What is that? I guess 10 days away or so now.
Okay.
So I signed up for the 4-star at Stableview. We're going to see how that goes. If that goes well or well enough, we will do Kentucky. And if that goes well enough, the plan would be to do the try on long if his fitness is appropriate.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah. Good luck. I mean,
yeah, it's very cool.
He definitely stands out. He's, I
yeah, definitely turns heads.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Although some people do call him a pony, but I swear he's not a pony.
How big is he? Because he looks big in the pictures, or at least to me, he looks big.
he's probably about 16 hands okay. on a stick. I'm also tiny, so I make sure he doesn't look like a pony if I can.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we're looking at the pictures now. Yeah, to me, he looks big. So
I think it's just because he's
got
a
big personality.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Now, do you have any other horses that are moving up the levels for yourself?
I do. I have two thoroughbreds who actually have a sort of friendly rivalry as they've been moving along the levels together. One of them is owned by a client. The other one, actually, I own myself. Venezuelan River is the one that I own. And then Menlo Park is owned by a client named Carol McRoy. They both, I started them around the same time. We got them as three-year-olds off the track and just have taken as much time as needed to get the foundation on them, get them rideable, get them comfortable in their bodies. And it's been paying off really well. They're both currently competing at the modified level, and Menlo Park, whose name is Melon at home, he's done a couple prelims, and he's signed up to do prelim at Morven, and hopefully we'll stay the rest of the season at prelim, if not higher. And then my personal horse, whose barn name is Newt, he's a little quirkier. He took a lot more time to develop trust and good behavior, but it's given him a great foundation for a thoroughbred. He's wonderfully competitive on the flat, and his confidence in the jumping has really improved. So I hope that he'll be ready for prelim maybe by the summer.
Okay. And how old are they?
They are coming 7 this year.
Okay.
I also have a young one who's a naughty little infant. I'm not sure if he'll make it to recognized events this year. He's got a really silly buck on him.
Oh, no.
But myself and a client named Kara bought him together as a project, and he's super fun. He's very athletic. He's related to my former 4-star horse Gianni, and kind of has his spicy personality. I think he'll have a type for spicy horses.
Yeah, sounds like it. Oh, that's funny. All right, so Tracy, we are going to play quick fire questions. And Quick Fire Questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Get your all-weather outerwear by going to redandgoatequestrian.com. So it's just going to be 5 questions. You don't have to be quick, but we will have strict grading at the end. All right.
Okay.
So you ready? All right. Favorite rider growing up?
Philip Dutton.
Oh, that's a good one. I think that was... yours, right? Was that yours growing up?
I had a bunch.
Okay. favorite event to compete at?
Probably Carolina. I love Carolina.
Yeah, that's a nice event. We've been there once and it was really pretty. I like
it's like right when spring's starting to come up too, so it's starting to be nice and green.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they do a beautiful job of maintaining the rings, and the footing is fabulous. Very trustworthy event. You know you're going to have good conditions, even if the weather sucks.
Yeah, right. And just the cross country is definitely tough there. But just a lot of fun to watch, and you know, riders seem to really enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe that's why I go. I'm all about a good, tough cross country.
All right. Next question. If riding was not an option, what other career would you want to try?
I'd probably become a ski patroller.
A ski
patroller? That sounds like fun.
A ski patroller? Are you a skier?
I am, yeah. I've skied all of my life. I grew up spending a winter here and there out west to ski, and I love it almost as much as I love riding sport-wise.
Okay.
That's really cool.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's a new one. Yeah.
I hardly ask that question, but yeah. We need to bring that one back too.
That's a good question. Yeah. That's a hard one for riders to answer.
Yeah, yeah. I think we had one. She wanted to, I think, be a lawyer because she wanted to wear the outfits.
That's funny. I could understand that.
I can't remember who it was, but it was funny. All right. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you go cross country?
I sure do. And my students all have started adapting them as well. I'm not sure if it's a superstition or a nutritional concept, but I always have to find a good carb loading situation for the night before. It's definitely a superstition. And then any equipment that I might be using, I always need it to touch the ground before it gets put on me or my horse. So if you have a beautiful white brand new saddle pad and my girl will be tacking up for me, I'll be like, hey, did you drop it? And they're like, what? What do you mean, did you drop it? Like, drop it on the ground. It's real quick. I'm not sure who that one came from, but we sure stick to it. It's real.
That's a good one. I never heard of that one. And I like the carbo loading.
Yep.
And all I think about is The Office and Michael Scott carbo loading.
2 minutes before the race.
Yeah, 2 minutes before his 5K.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, good answer. Oh, my goodness. All right. So last question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
Well, I can't think of any past horses, but Boyd's horse Thomas looks like an awful lot of fun, and he looks like my size, so we'll go with that. Yeah. I would love to ride Thomas.
Yeah, good answer. Yep. Yeah, I'm a fan of his size too, because I'd like
big little, fan of Thomas.
Yeah, yeah. Little horse, big heart. So, well,
absolutely. I've ridden a few small ones, Advanced, and they've been some of my most fun and safest rides.
Yeah. And he does really well in dressage too. So
yeah, he's a good all-around horse.
Just good all-around.
Which is wonderful to see.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
4 gold stars.
There you go. Woohoo! Good job.
Awesome. Now, Tracy, you've obviously have done a whole bunch, and you know, you're making your way up through, you know, the levels here. You know, you got the 4-star coming up, and you know, you've done one in the past. Do you have any advice for any young rider looking to make it in this sport?
My most serious advice is just to stick to it and go through the ups and downs and grind it out whenever you need to. You know, keep your head up, and if you work hard enough, you can make it.
Yeah.
Now with what you said, that implies that there is a not serious answer to that. You said that was your serious response.
That's the real one. You know, that's how real life is. I guess other people might have more philosophical advice or advice about only taking certain horses or going after the big sponsors. But I think it's just the hard work that we need to remember and to maintain our horsemanship to keep the sport going.
I'm sure that's a good one.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Good advice. Yeah. Very good advice.
And, you know, Tracy, we like to give everyone a platform to kind of shout out, you know, who's been supporting them, sponsors or, you know, other supporters. So is there anyone that you'd like to shout out here?
I'd say a big one would be Reg the Ledge's owner. Not directly a sponsor, but supporting a horse at that level is no easy thing to do. And she has got him and she's very excited about our future. So that's a very big deal for me. I've been in Devaku since 2012 and they take amazing care of me. They take amazing care of my horses. And they've been a very long time supporter for me. I also work with UVEX. I've been with them since 2017 and I love seeing their brand really blossom into the United States scene. I think the safety is super important to protect our heads, protect our bodies, and make sure that we can safely get around those courses. No matter what happens, we can come home. Our barn was built and is now supplied by R&D Cross of Brandywine. Dave Cross, who owns the business, helped build our beautiful barn, did an amazing job working with me, working with the Amish, working with our other subcontractors, and our facility is just absolutely more than I could have ever dreamed to have. VTO Saddlery has been with me for a while, and Paul, everyone knows Paul. Paul is the best. He will take care of his riders. He makes it to every single event that he can, even if he probably should take a day off once in a while. But I couldn't do it without Paul, without Dave, without UVEX and Devaku. They make a huge difference for my performance and my ability to compete at these levels.
You know, always good to support those sponsors and shout, give them a shout out. Now, I've actually just bought myself a UVEX helmet and I really like it. I haven't gotten a chance to use it, but when I tried it on, hopefully this weekend, but I really, it fits really nice and it's very comfortable.
Very nice helmets.
UVEX was life changing for me because I get migraines. I get headaches very easily. And, you know, wearing a helmet for 12 plus horses a day, or even just, you know, for a few horses at a show, like working and thinking and riding with a headache is just no good. UVEX are one of the only helmets that I've worked with that because of their adjustability, you can make sure you never get a headache. So they were life changing for me.
No fun having a headache, especially when you're outside and working with horses and trying to ride and don't.
Oh, you're trying to remember your dressage test, but meanwhile, you're being smashed by a hard object.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No time for a headache. No time.
Definitely not.
So, Tracy, as we wind things down, how do our listeners follow along? Do you have any social media, website, or anything like that?
So our most active is through Instagram. Our Instagram is at TAB Eventing. I also do Tracy Beanham Eventing as a Facebook page. And I use my personal page for our stuff as well. That's the best way to keep up with us.
Awesome. Well, what do you think?
Yeah, this was great.
Yeah. So Tracy, it was really nice getting to know you. Good luck. Stapleview coming up, and then hopefully we'll mm-hmm. see you in Kentucky. We're planning on going there, and hopefully we'll see you and root for you.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It was fun to check in and chat with you guys, and I look forward to seeing you at some events.
Please like and follow Major League Eventing on Facebook and Instagram, and join the Major League Eventers group on Facebook.